Guys. So I am Rob's wife and Ashley, Mary, and Naomi's mom. And I'm excited to talk with you guys tonight as you continue your apologetic series. So why does God allow bad things to happen? 9/11. So my story, a little part of my testimony, when I graduated from Bentley University in May of 2001, I started my career in New York City. I worked for American Express across the street from the World Trade Center. So this is my office building. I worked pretty much in the middle of the floor. And as you can see, it was directly across from Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. That's Tower 2 and right along the Hudson River. Actually took sailing lessons down in there in the harbor, which is super fun. So I started my career in May of 2001. I moved in with my parents in New Fairfield, Connecticut, so I didn't have to pay rent. And I commuted into Manhattan every work day. It was 2.5 hours in and 2.5 hours back home. So 5 hours a day I spent commuting. It got real old fast. So I found an apartment with a roommate in Midtown Manhattan right next to Grand Central Station, and I moved in Labor Day weekend. Well, that year in 2001, Labor Day was the day before 9/11, September 11th. So I had an amazing commute for all of one morning that day. I took the train down to the World Trade Center, and I got out like I did always. I walked through the World Trade Center Plaza, and then my building was connected to Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. We had a footbridge, so I walked across the footbridge and into my office that morning. Now, one thing you should know is that by God's providence, I got to work early that day. I got to work around 7 a.m. Normally, I would get there between 8:45 and 9 when we started, but at 8:46, I believe, that morning is when the first airplane flew through Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. So by God's providence, I got to work early that morning and did not walk through the World Trade Center when that first plane hit. And that morning, I got to work early because I was a computer programmer for the Human Resources Department, and we were kicking off our year-end compensation and benefits process. And there was a glitch in my code, and I needed to get in before a big meeting I had at 9 a.m. to work on this code. So I got in that day and took off my sneakers, put on my fancy shoes, got my notebook out, turned my computer on, start coding, looking at my program, and then got close to 9, and I thought, okay, I'm going to use the ladies' room to get ready for my meeting and then move on to this other thing I had to do. So go to the bathroom, leave the ladies' room, and off come of the elevator is one of my managers. I had two managers at that time. So we got to talking. The bathrooms and the elevators were in the middle of our tower. So we're in the middle, no windows, can't see what's going on. And we're talking about this meeting we're going into and what's going to happen that day. When all of a sudden, our coworkers who were having coffee and looking out the window of the north side of the building, which was over here, saw an airplane coming towards our building, and they saw it crash into Tower 1. So they come running out, they grabbed us, and they said, something bad's happened, get on the elevator, we gotta go. So we get on the elevator, and they tell us, we just saw an airplane fly into the World Trade Center. We thought it was coming for us. So we take it downstairs, the elevator downstairs, walk outside, and we look up, and we see this. Tower 1 on fire. So we're all standing under, you know, this is not exactly where I was standing. I was a lot closer across the street, but this is kind of what it looked like and felt like. So we all pulled out our old Nokia cell phones that were like a block of plastic. And we start calling our loved ones, but all of the cell phone signals were down. All of the telephone lines were all wrapped up with the fire, ambulances, police that were trying to help the people in the World Trade Center. So none of us could get a hold of our loved ones. We're standing there. It's just a ball of flames right above our heads, paper, debris falling out of the building. Fortunately, I don't remember seeing anyone jump out of the towers or anything like that, but I'm told that it did happen. So I think that part of my brain just kind of shut that down for me, which I'm thankful for. But then as we're looking at this ball of fire, all of a sudden this huge explosion happens. Well, the second plane went into Tower 2 and it exploded right above us. So our gut instinct was just to turn around and run towards the Hudson River. Remember, the river's right here. So later we talked and we were, at the time, nobody had to say anything. Your just gut instinct, fight or flight kicks in. And we thought, we'll just jump in the river if bombs start falling out of the sky, because that's what it felt like. We knew at that point it was not an accident, that this was a terrorist attack and that somebody out there wanted us dead. And so fortunately we escaped and we turned the corner and ran up the West Side Highway, which is the road that divided between Tower 1 and my office building. And there was a bike path. So we ran up the bike path. My boss had bronchitis that morning. The only reason why she was there was for this big meeting. So I offered to put her on my back. I'm in my high heels, you know. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so walk some more. And then I said, we gotta get out of here faster. These buildings are going to fall. So we ran across the West Side Highway. Down the West Side Highway is coming all of the ambulances, fire trucks, the military vehicles, police. And up the West Side Highway are all of the commuter buses and taxi cab drivers that had just dropped off all the commuters downtown. So I flagged down a bus. He pulled over, fortunately, and a bunch of us from the World Trade Center and the World Financial Center got on board the bus. It was a coach bus, so we couldn't see out the back window. But by this time, I was able to get a hold of my dad in Connecticut. And so he's on the phone. He had a second phone line in his house, and he called all the family members of everyone on the bus to tell them that we were all okay. And he was able to tell us from watching the TV that the towers were now falling and we were driving away. So I wasn't down there when the towers fell down. But the towers, when they did fall, part of World Trade 1 fell into our office building. That's my office. This is the door that I came out of that day. So there's a lot of debris and dust that ended up in our building. We were told that some of the beams from Tower 1 ended up in our cafeteria. So we ended up not being able to go back to work in our building for 9 months. For 9 months, we took coach buses out to Parsippany, New Jersey, near the Delaware Water Gap, and worked in a temporary office situation. But going back to that story, we took the coach bus up to 42nd Street, which is where the bus depot was. So he let us off, and then we hailed a taxi cab and took the cab up to Central Park. I wasn't planning on going home that day because my apartment, like I said, was right next to Grand Central Station and the United Nations building and the Chrysler building, all which were under threat of a bomb. And so I did not want to go back there. So I went home with my boss, who was not a Christian. She's Hindu. And was able to share my faith with her and ask her what she thought of God. And she said, I really don't want to hear about your God right now. I can't believe in a God who you say is good. And yet my dad, who was a physician, a well-renowned doctor, had a stroke and is disabled and can no longer talk and can no longer practice. I can't believe in a God who says he's good and allows bad things to happen. And here we've just gone through the tragedy of 9/11 as well. This is the notebook that I was writing on that day with some code at the top. When the police searched our building, an NYPD officer wrote me a little note, and then the person that packed up my desk for me to send my stuff to Parsippany, New Jersey, wrote a note. So they were searching the building looking for me. Again, it looked like I had just gotten there because my shoes were there, my computer was on, my notebook was out. And then after 9 months, we went back to our building in the World Financial Center. This is ground zero, and this is the view from my desk. This is the first anniversary of 9/11 when they had a memorial service for all the loved ones of the people who tragically died in the World Trade Center. And then this is now. This is the Freedom Tower, the new World Trade Center, and you can see my office building across the street. You can see how close they are right there. So Avery Folly states in her article, Why Does God Let Bad Things Happen? Now, when tragedy strikes a Christian, whether it be through circumstance, illness, natural disasters, or even a loved one's death, it is tempting to wonder, why me? And to become angry with God for not stopping it. We know death and suffering aren't God's fault. They are the result of living in a sin-cursed world. But when suffering becomes personal, we wonder why God would allow us to suffer in this manner and why he wouldn't stop it. When I was walking through Central Park that day, still on the phone with my dad, and my mom was a school teacher. And that morning, she was in a meeting with administrators at her school, and my dad called her to tell her that the World Trade Center had been attacked, and he couldn't get a hold of me, and he didn't know if I was alive or dead. My mom did not break down crying. She immediately started praying in front of all of these public school teachers. And they all got up and put their hands on her, Christians and non-Christians. And then as soon as she was done praying, the principal said, "Can someone drive May home?" So when I got to Central Park, she had walked in the door, and I was able to get on the phone with her. And I said, "Mom, if this is it, I'll see you in a little bit." You see, as Christians, we have this hope in Christ. We know that this isn't the end. We know that evil doesn't win and evil doesn't prevail. We know that there's hope in Christ, that he's going to come back again and he is going to save us through eternal life. So what does Scripture say about evil? When we look at Genesis 2, we see the commandment that God gave man. He says, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." You see, God gave man free will. He did not want us to be robots. He didn't want to control us. He gave us free will to make our own decisions. That's what makes life fun, right? And man could have obeyed God and stayed away from that tree, but he didn't, right? We all know that he eats the fruit. And then God says to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So that there's death. Death is entering the picture here, right? Sin and death. "The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife the garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' So he makes them leave the Garden of Eden." But does God leave us there to just sin all the time? No, he doesn't. So when we go to the New Testament, we see Jesus says, "I have said in these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So we know bad things are going to happen, but Jesus says, don't worry about them. We know that there's going to be terrorist attacks. We know people are going to die. A lot of you I know go to Mars Hill Academy. I've got my Caris bracelet on. Caris has leukemia right now. So here's a 10-year-old girl who has cancer. Bad things are going to happen. This life is going to be hard. But Jesus says, have peace in me and take heart. I have overcome the world. So we have hope in our future. In Romans 8:28, which is Caris's verse on this bracelet, it says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." You see, God's promise is that all of the things that happen here on earth are constantly working towards good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So sometimes we don't know why bad things happen. We just don't. But we do know that God is orchestrating everything and he's using everything for good. And it's really sweet to be able to have a glimpse of some of the things that God is using for his good. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13:12, we see, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." So we can see sometimes a glimpse of what God is doing and how he's orchestrating good for us as Christians. And we know in the end, Revelation 21:4 talks about how he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And we are then going to be able to see all the ways that God used the different circumstances for good for those who love and are called according to his purpose. So as we see in Peter, 1 Peter 1, 5, 8 through 11, we need to be watchful. Satan's here. He's on the prowl, and he wants you, and he wants to devour you, and he wants to devour me. And as you saw on 9/11, he wanted to devour me, but God didn't let him. He held me. He got me out of ground zero before those towers fell. He was with me the whole time. So we know that Satan is here roaring like a lion, and we are told to resist him, to be firm in our faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering that are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So people in Asia are experiencing Satan trying to devour them, and in India, and also in the United States. But only after a little while. So our suffering is only for a little while. We only have to put up with this evil for a little while in God's timing. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you to be in the dominion forever and ever. Praise God for that. And we know, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is the way that we get to have eternal life. This is the way that Christ accomplished evil or defeated evil. He died on the cross for us, that we wouldn't be stuck with sin, but that we could receive this free gift of grace through Jesus Christ, that he could be the Lord of our life, that we could repent and receive him, and he would become Lord of our life, and therefore we can have eternal life and live with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth, which is to come. So right now, by the Great Commission, we're told to go out and share the gospel, make disciples of men, baptizing them. And God wants his kingdom to grow, right? He doesn't want it to be a little kingdom. He wants a lot of people. He loves us all. He wants so many people to come and be part of his kingdom. So we have this great command, Great Commission, to go out and make disciples. So that's what I want to encourage you guys with. You know that God defeats evil. We all know the end of the story. But get ready. Get ready to go to college and tell your story. Tell your testimony. Get ready to share the gospel with people who don't know Christ. And also, be prepared, because like Peter said, Satan's on the prowl, and he wants you, and he wants to devour you. But I don't want him to devour you, and I know this loving God that I believe in doesn't want him to devour you either. He wants you to receive that free gift of grace. Let me leave you with this quote from R.C. Sproul. I always say Sproul, "The Origin of Evil. Though I do not know or fully understand the origin of evil, I do know the future of it. I do know that it has been overcome and that God will rid this universe of all moral evil, physical evil, and metaphysical evil. As we grow up into the fullness of Christ and inhabit in a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth, in where there is no crying, no more death, death shall be no more, no more pain, and no more sin." All right, I have given your small group leaders questions, so I encourage you to ask them some good questions tonight, and I'm going to leave it right there. So, yes.